Father, I pray this morning that we would hear your voice and not Pastor Sean. You'd speak to us as your kids. If there's any chicken here for anybody today, they would eat their chicken. And if I spit some bones out, Father, with it, they'd spit the bones out. In Jesus' name. So our recap of this pure religion is really us, the church, checking our own hearts. Each one of us, it's a heart check. I talk about, I've been in critical care and in the medical world for a long time, and in the church, I'm in critical care. And I'll tell you, everybody who's in crisis wishes they'd have done something different that could have avoided that crisis. Every single time. Man, I'll give up butter. I would have given up butter had I known. We kept telling you, stop eating sticks of butter. Right? If you'd have gone for that test, I see, fine. You're bumping into stuff. You know, you get the doc saying, well, we got to take out your eye. What? I should have gone to the test. Right? This is a heart check before we get in critical care. We should check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, you know? Say, I am the church. Right. All of us make up the church. You count Jesus as Lord. So I have some recap points. First one, I have a slide, I think. Hopefully it's a good time for water. Our religion is what we say we believe and the what we practice of what we say. Our religion is what we say we believe and the what we practice together of what we believe. You can say you believe a lot of stuff, but if you don't practice it, God said, that's terrible. That's not pure religion. That's just fake. That's been the problem a lot of times with the world. You think, well, the church isn't standing up. Lots of times the church is standing up. The problem has been the picture we've been given is fake. They'd love Jesus if they really saw who he was. We're the mirror. Sometimes we show a good image. Sometimes my hair's messed up. I don't look exactly like him. But we'll judge each other about being perfect, but we don't want any other standards. But we know there's only one perfect one. Why do we do that to each other? Right? Don't do that to each other. But also, don't be the guy that hides behind, well, nobody's perfect, and gives you reason to be a moron. Don't do that either. Both things are true. You have to prove what you believe. And God was talking about, how's your religion? What you say you believe? You're growling at that guy about 20 cents. How long is he going to lay you down? 3 minutes? You can be 3 minutes late, are you? Oh, I'm not even going anywhere. I'm not going to be late. I just wanted home, you know? Say action matters. Say motivation matters. Yeah, both are true, right? When it comes to the spiritual recap point, I promise I'm going to read these scriptures, recap real quickish. I won't break it down like I did last week for many reasons. If I broke it down like I did last week, it was brutal. It was brutal in here for me up here last week. And you're like, no, it was great sermon, Pastor. Way to give us truth. Right? That's how it felt. Like, people ever go say, how was your dental appointment? It was good. Ever have a nice dentist appointment? Well, yeah, I got my teeth cleaned and they fixed that cavity thing and they, you know, floss it up and you had a good experience. There was no problems. But at the end of the day, would you rather been there or not? No one has a real great dentist where, like, can't wait to go to the dentist. But sometimes we need to go to the dentist so we don't lose some teeth. Because we have not been maintaining it properly. This series is a lot like a good dental visit. Yay, Ken. Kenny's like, dang, Pastor, you should have skipped this week, you know? Say, pure religion. Yeah. There are things that are hard to hear, but I'm grateful for the truth. Like, there are things that are absolutely hard to hear in the Word of God, but I'm grateful for the truth. There are things that were hard to hear as a kid. I was grateful for the truth. The truth will set you free. So here in our recap, we have James 1, 26 through 27, and I'll read it-ish. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, scrupulously observant of the rituals of his faith, and does not control his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this scripture is about keeping yourself from lies and blasphemy. This person who does not control their own tongue, deludes their own heart. This person's religion is worthless. Doesn't matter what they said, it's what they did. this person's religion is worthless, futile, barren, pure, an unblemished religion, as it expressed in outward actions in the sight of our God and Father, is this. What is pure religion? He said, this is what it looks like. Pure religion looks like this. Here's your thermometer test at the beginning of this pure religion journey. Here it is. To look after the fatherless. Now, I won't recap, but we realize there's a lot of fatherless categories. Some of us, in some degree, many of us can relate to being fatherless in our lives. And you've seen the world's lack of fathers. I mean, there was a video out the other day, foster care. 400,000 kids in the current foster care program are needing a home. Fatherless. But there's fatherless, like you might have had a father in the home, but you felt fatherless. You might have had a father in the home, but you wish he wasn't. Fatherless. Fatherless things happen. Visit and look after the fatherless. Pure religion is this, to visit and look after the fatherless. I remember, I'm not going to teach it, but I remember this verse hitting me, thinking, well, someday. And then God asked me to do this little ministry called a basketball ministry, which I thought, great, I get to play basketball with young kids. I play Christian music on the side. Easy peasy. Love it. But then as I'm doing that, you start to develop a relationship with some of these kids who I'm maybe 6, 7, 8 years older than, but realizing I might be the only vision of the father they're going to see. So I'm in the hood playing basketball with some guys, trying to be the best example of the father because they didn't have a father. And that's, he said, that's ministry. Say, I am the church. It is my job to look after the fatherless. No, that's not new seasons. It's new seasons, but it's not just new season. I am the church. He's talking to the church. Well, yeah, pastor, you take care of the fatherless. No, no, where are the fatherless in your life? Who has brought, where are the people that he wanted you to visit at least? Give some love and some fatherless stuff to. Okay. To visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress. Do we each give what God asks us to consistently do to help others? Jingling, jingling. I hear jingling. And the widows in their distress, do we ask God to give, if we're supposed to give, and what we're supposed to give towards helping the distress of anybody? His word talks about it. A lot of times, yeah, you know, you hear this, the church should be helping them. There's a fire. Yeah, yeah, they're your friends, and you are the church. You should be helping them. I agree. Right? We should be helping one another when we can. It says, widows in the distress, and to keep oneself, say myself. Sometimes we got to look at ourselves. When messages, it's very easy to hear other people, right? Pastor's preaching this. I wish they were here today. Or you know what? Jasmine would never do this to Nixie. She's got him cuddled up. But her elbow is also placed right near the rib cage, I notice, you know. Nick's like, I'm used to it, Pastor. I got a little pad on today, you know. Rib pad. Keep oneself. Our job is to keep ourselves, no one else's job. It's not Dr. Heidi's job to keep me. It's not Pastor Justin's job to keep me. It's not Ed Henderson's job to keep me. I got to keep myself uncontaminated by the secular world. Whew, that's a full-time job. Say, I'm working on it, Pastor. Move on. You said you were going to not slow roll too much here. Say, pure religion. Then we recapped. We're recapping still. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious. When? All times. That the enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around. He prowls around. What's he doing? He's seeking someone. He's looking to seek somebody to take down. He's got a lot of people already down. He doesn't need that. He's looking for new bodies to take down. He's roaming around, seeking someone to devour. But here's the thing. We can first thing, when you feel like, ever feel like the devil's after you, or like you got some temptation, like you're, like things are happening all over the place, and you're feeling like this has got to be a spiritual attack. Anybody ever just feel like, you know, the first thing we should do in that moment is resist. That sounds easy. Like, just resist it. Don't do it. Walk away. Say, no, I'm not. I want that extra brownie. that was left by the party that I hid in the upper cabinet. I want it. It'd be a sin to throw it away, would it? Don't expose it. Give it to someone who really can use it. Got it. Also, I resisted in this sermon series. I had a video that I'm not going to show because I realized at the time I looked at it, I go, this might not be good. It makes my point, though. It makes me laugh. But I resisted. I won't even talk about it. My wife said, don't even talk about it. Just move on. You know. So I'm moving on. Resisting. It says, but resist him. Be firm in your faith. Not wishy-washy. Not knowing the penance of your faith. What does God say about that? Don't. Be firm in your faith. Be rooted. Be established. Be immovable. The church has to spiritually toughen up. Don't you think the church has to spiritually toughen up a little bit? Say, I am. Oh, wait a minute. I won't make you say you got to toughen up. It's Sunday. Be nice. Be immovable, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. Say, we all got stuff. Boo. We all got stuff. Oh, if anyone, why has no one reached out to me? Because they're buried. No one's come see me. You know why? Because they get poked in the eye. That's why they can't see you. Why has no one helped me carry this? Because they got a piano on their back. If you knew their story, like we all got stuff, right? Anybody, I'd be like, no, you know, I'm like Dr. Heidi. I just kind of do this. I moonwalk through life and I'm blessed. Anybody? Other than her, yeah, that's how she does it. You should see her walking through Prescott. She's like, she owns it. All heads are like, man, she is beautiful. Is this the queen of Prescott? Not all of us can walk that way. She does it, you know. Pure religion. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This is a faithful and trustworthy saying. Now, this isn't my scripture. I need 2 Timothy 3. I was like, wait a minute. Who's tricksing me up? I'll read it. You can follow along with your Bible if you like. You can trust me. It's in there. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come. Anybody feel that vibe? Difficult days. Anybody having difficult days? Difficult days that will be hard to bear. Do you know how many times I talked to people this week? Go, I felt like quitting. This was my quitting week. I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. The sun, I hate it. I'm quitting this week. Or you know what? Just my coworker one more time takes a pencil. I'm quitting. Did anybody have a quitting week? I had it. Occasionally, thank you, Cody. I never thought you'd have a quitting week. Pastor Jody, I feel real good. But I don't feel so bad about my quitting week sometimes. You just get there, right? Hard to bear. I can't do this anymore. There's got to be someone else who can do this. The end times look like that. That's what he's saying, the last days. Days will be hard to bear. For why? Why is he saying? Because like the gas prices are going up. Hard to bear. Why? Because your Twinkies are going to cost $2. No. For the people will be lovers of self. Say, shocking. Peoples will be lovers of self. Narcissistic. Self-focused. Lovers of money. Boastful. Arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. He's talking to church people. And profane, unloving, irreconcilable. That means refusing to authentically repent, knowing it's wrong and not repenting from it. Malicious gossips. See that? You see? I saw Jody. I saw him. Yeah, he used single ply. I told him to buy 2-ply. See him, you know. He would never do that. He'd buy 3-ply. Malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, immoral, brutal haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. dramatic pause. Okay. Holding to a form of outward godliness. Holding to a form of outward godliness. Remember the basketball video last, like you hear, look like basketball players, talk like basketball players. With the cameras off, they were just actors. Right. A form of religion, although they've denied its power, for their conduct nullifies. What they do nullifies what they say. Their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. It does not matter what they claim or what they know or what they say. It is their consistent conduct proving if they know him or not. Faith without works is dead. Works without a heart after God is worthless. Man, that's a challenge, isn't it? I got to do works and my heart's got to be right. I got to check myself. It says people that are like that, that big list, it says avoid such people. Keep away from them. Avoid such people. Don't make your tea in your toilet water, right? I have a slide, I think. Yes, the church is only as pure as how we each practice our religion. The church is only as pure as how we each practice it. Because say, I am the church. So the church is only going to be as pure as your religion is pure, as my religion is pure. We all got to catch up to Dr. Heidi. That's what it is. If your heart is right, this very next verse can change everything. I know many lives in here are personally changed by this verse. It's vital that we still keep letting him change us, okay? Making ourselves surrender. Like, making ourselves surrender for the purpose of him changing us. All of us should be looking to purify, so I just want to reiterate that this is true. So last week I mentioned pure religion about the good and the bad and the ugly, okay? So I'm going to have some verses that are going to qualify under the bad and the ugly. I did kind of the good and the bad last week. This is more towards like the ugly and the bad, okay? But I thought I'd show some good pictures to lighten your spirits, right? I have a picture of something good to make you smile. I have a good picture. Yeah, it's a cannoli cake from Light's Bakery in upstate New York. If you only knew the power in that cake. Hold on. No, you're giving my secrets away, Dr. Heidi. Don't be giving my secrets away. Yeah, that's the good, right? Now, the bad, I had lots of choices, as you saw. I got that guy. You probably don't know who he is. He's Simon Bar-Sinister. It's like the dark side of religion, you know? I had lots of choices, though. I was going to put Scar up, but I'm going to do something else. So I thought about the ugly. Don't put my ugly up yet. Because ugly, I cut the video for ugly, you know. And then I thought, oh, there's some really gross clams I know. I don't know. Don't send those. And then I pondered putting the crucifixion up. Because that was so ugly, the Father turned his head. Like, God the Father couldn't even look at it. That's what it says. I can't see. So I thought about doing that and have a moving moment. But instead, I found the picture of ugly for us. This is what I have. Yeah. That's a naked mole rat. Even his mama says, get a wig. You know, that's tough. But I chose a naked mole rat because naked mole rat is kind of like us exposed before God when the word hits us when we're in the midst of trouble. I felt pretty confident in the checkout line. And then when God said, how's your religion? And I realized, oh, it's not great right now. I felt like a naked mole rat, stripped down in front of him. Ugly. How can you be a pastor? You're going to get by that guy's tomato. You little naked mole rat, you know. Today I'm going to squish a little more ugly in pure religion. This one is one of the ugly verses. You ready? Romans 3, 23 through 26 in the New Living. For everyone has sinned. For everyone has sinned. Look around. Think of people in your head. Any human. Go ahead, just pick a human randomly. For everyone has sinned. It's ugly and it's true. I wish it wasn't true. It's ugly and it's true. But I also, in this moment, when I see that, I thank Jesus so much. Like the songs I delivered, I'm not what I used to be. He's delivered me from those things, right? He says we all fall short, all of us. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. You know what doesn't make us right? Doing self-harm. I just, you know, sacrifice for Jesus. I haven't eaten 14 days. No, nothing. I just have them spray water in my mouth with a Windex bottle as I walk by. I'm just suffering for Jesus. God tells you, go on a fast. I'm not anti-fast, but don't think the fast is going to change his mind because he sees you suffering. Talked about it in Scripture. No self-denial can do that. No self-harm. No number of tasks. God, you should sell what I did. I bought 4 tomatoes today. I am so good. Crushed it. All my Jesus tasks were done. God in his grace makes us right only. Say only Jesus. Only Jesus. He did this through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Say thank you. Thank you. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice, for sin, right? People are made right with God when they believe. When they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life by shedding his blood. I want to go through this whole thing because it's our foundation. Remember, we said, sure up our foundation. Sometimes we forget the only way to remove those things is right to Jesus. I can work my kid. No, you can't work it back. You got to know the one who will forgive you. We forget that. We get with our relationship with Jesus. And we thought, you know, I'll do a car wash and give all the money to Marley. Why? Because I feel guilty. Don't do it for that reason. This is our heart check time. Like, why are we doing what we're doing? And if we're not doing anything, why? Both questions should be asked. It says in the bottom of that verse, and he makes sinners right in his sight when we truly believe in Jesus. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one judge you in regard to. Let no one judge you. You know how often I hear that scripture from people who are guilty of doing stuff? I'm serious. Don't you judge me. All I said was, should you be sticking that in your arm, that needle? No. Don't judge me. I'm just saying, should you? But it says this, do not judge me in regard to. And now judging is a double-edged sword. Because we can be judgy. I can't believe it. How dare Jesse wear shorts to church? When I was back in the day, you wore shorts to church, an usher would hit you with a ruler, make you knit your own pants. That'd be your child activity. Go knit yourself some pants. Jesse's like, don't be judging me. Pastor said it's cool. I can wear church. It's hot outside. Judging is not always bad, though. We're called to judge some things. And it's not the scripture's not there. We're staying in the scripture. But in Matthew 7, it talks about you'll know the good and bad roots by the fruit that are produced in people's lives. He said you're supposed to judge them according to their fruit. It actually says we're supposed to check on each other's fruit. You know, how are you doing with your Jesus production? How's your patience? Man, it's good when I'm home. And I'm okay and not on the 60. But I got to go on the 60 sometimes. So I'll give myself a C-minus. Okay, Lord, you did the judge, you know. You got to judge your own fruit. They're called to judge each other's fruit. But it says, therefore, let no one judge you in regard to food and drink. That we judge each other a lot with those things. We judge each other according to herbal supplements. We judge each other according to who you vote for. We judge each other. Stop. Stop it. Say, I'm the church. I'm going to stop it. Yeah. Don't judge each other regarding to food or drink in regard to observance of festivals or new moons or even a Sabbath day. Such things are a shadow of what's to come. They only have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality, the foreshadowing belongs to Jesus. Your prize in all this, you know what our prize is as believers in pure religion? What is our prize? Our prize is your freedom in Christ and your salvation. That's the prize. It says, let no one defraud you by insisting on mock, fake humility and worshiping angels and the details he claims to have seen and to justify their authority. And I heard a story this week, Andrew Presence interviewed, so I can tell the story. He came up to me after service and goes, Pastor, You want to hear what I saw, heard on the news, some joker did? I go, and I knew by this look on his face, I go, yeah, Andrew, I want to hear the story. He goes, some pastor on the internet, I saw this video clip that he was selling people plots of land in heaven. And the more you could do, the more close you get to the throne room. I instantly had a want to throw up and chop him in the neck kind of response. But I went, oh, man. And Andrew's like, isn't that crazy? And I go, I love that you know that's crazy. Just, I had a vision. I could, for 1995, check someone's vision with the word. There's only one way to get to heaven. Your house is determined by, if there is a house, if it's metaphorical. I don't even know what heaven looks like. I got a little bit of revelation. It seems kind of like Alice in Wonderland meets Jesus. I'm like, what? The horsemen, and they did what? And what's happening? And the streets of gold. And crystal sea. I can't even, what's happening here? But if someone tells you, I know exactly what's happening with life, and for $200, I can get you a plot of land. Don't swallow that. Don't swallow that. Don't do that. It says, to justify the authority, puffed up in conceit by his unspiritual mind. How about, do you guys realize when you get your mind off of God, I don't know if this happens, but I see it. When you get your mind off of God, you tend to get puffed up. When you veer from God, when people start walking away from God, the first thing they do, there's an arrogance. I got a greater revelation. I got, and they start their thing, and you start. It starts off with an arrogance. Almost always, time is the pride, and it doesn't. It makes sense because that was a satanic thing back in the garden. But I've noticed that there's a puffed up conceit, and it says right here in the Word, spiritually unhealthy stuff follows when we're puffed up and conceited. Not holding fast to the head, Jesus Christ, to whom you, the entire body, supplied and knit together. By its joints and ligaments grows with the growth that can come only from God. Say no bad religion for me. We have some good, we have some bad. I'm going to give you a bit more ugly. You ready? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. It's a bit more ugly whipped in. But the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in latter times, the Holy Spirit's meeting with these guys. And he says, I want to tell you, the Spirit of God says, guess what? In latter times, you're going to see this happen. Don't be shocked by this. Don't be shocked because there's going to be a choice in everyone's life of what you're going to do with Jesus and how you're going to follow him. If you're going to obey him, there's going to be a moment that all of us are going to be tested. Even you think you know God, you're going to be tested in that moment. At some point in time, if no one told you that from the moment you got saved, I'm going to tell you right now, that decision will be tested in your life. Will God be first? Or will I choose from that list again that I used to choose all the time before I met him? You'll get that list choice again. Has anybody ever not been tested or tried since you become a born-again Christian? Please raise your hand. Not been tested. If you've never been tested since you've been a born-again Christian, please raise your hand. Never been tempted. How about this? Ever been tempted? See what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith. Ever see that before? Who did say they once served God, but they walked away to do their own thing? Man, I lost some good folks to that. I was tempted one point in time in my life to go, I don't want to do this. This is hard. I want to make some money. I want to retire at 55. I like the Caribbean. Go to the desert. It's got palm trees, close enough. But I've seen people when they turn away, I've never seen it turn out well. Anytime someone walks away from God, I've never seen their life increase for long. It looks for a second and then it drops. I've never seen anybody, I've been thriving since I walked away from God. Does anybody know who's been thriving? I never see it. That's what the scripture says. They ended up paying attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. Something speaks into our life. What is it? If we walk away from God, then it opens the door from all sorts of other voices. I've been there. Misled by the hypocrisy of liars. Misled by the hypocrisy of liars. We have to say what we believe. We got to practice what we say, because that's pure religion. We got to care about others more than ourselves. That's pure religion. Those in distress, those without the Father in their lives, those without some kind of fathering, we have to practice pure religion. Not new season. You guys are amazing. But there has been times in the church's life where people practice the church, but not pure religion. They practice the song, but not worship. They practice the sermon, but did God say even to speak it? We all have to check our hearts. It's good to. I'd rather not be the one during the season to speak on heart checking, but I don't want to be at your spiritual suicide bed on the day that you said, I wish I would have, but told that straight out in front of somebody. Why doesn't everybody preach the truth? Why is the church so weak? Why do pastors not say the word? Why do they not stand up? I'm standing up. We got to stand up. We are the church. We're called to stand up. We're called to lead the way. But you're never going to be perfect. But we got to purify a little bit. Liars whose consciences are seared with all the branding iron, leaving them incapable of ethical functioning. I am the church, and I'm going to pay attention to my religion. Say motivation and ethics matter. Galatians 5:5-9. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it is no benefit to either being circumcised or uncircumcised. He's about to tear into him a little bit. Stuff that seemed to be really important. He said, I need you to miss the point. It's not about how you look on the outside. It's not about, look, I wear the cross, so I must be a Christian. It's not about any of that. He said, you guys are so bent up on, we look like Jews who follow God because we did this sacred ritual. He said, it's not about that. What is important, say, what is important? What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Not how it looks, but faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Man, I relate this to my physical me so much, you know. I get back to my garage. I get out there for like 2 days, and I'm running the race well. And then Tuesday happens. And I'm not even running the race at all. By Friday, the race looks a lot more like Oreos on the run. I was running the race well, but I stopped running the race so well. Right? You were running the race so well. Who has held you back? Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God. That's cheeky. He said, hey, who's doing this? And then he's like, don't blame God. Don't blame God for your bad choice. Don't blame God because you listened to the wolf in Pinocchio. Who's the fox in Pinocchio? Don't blame God because the fox got to you. Don't blame God. You see, he's not the one doing that. Come on, own your choices. Every bad decision I ever made, I made it. I was coaxed into a few, but at the end of the day, I made it. I did. I spent half my born-again early life apologizing to people. I felt like I had to go systematically through the Elmira phone book and go, Ebenezer who? Please forgive me. You know, and go through a whole list of who's. For he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast. Say a little yeast. Sounds like a rapper's name. That's a little yeast right there, you know. What's a little yeast throwing down today? You know, a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I had a Michael Jackson quote, but I didn't know if I was allowed to give it. It's a little Michael Jackson, you know, little, when he's little Mike. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, girl. Little Mike. A little yeast. That's where he got it from. He was probably reading his Bible. He's like, you know what? I got a song right there. Little yeast about the whole bread, girl. No. Dude, change it to apples. Yeah, little. No, you could see little Michael. Anyways, I digress. If not caring if you're off, if you don't care that you're off a little, If you don't care that you're off a little, it can be devastating. Just picture, I want you to picture a road map. And I'm going to start a car. I'll put California over here. California, tip of California, or Northern California, right? We're up there in beautiful North Cali. And I want you to drive straight across the United States as best you can, and I want you to go to New York. If this car in California, every mile is only off a half an inch, just a half an inch. Every mile, if I veer to the right for half an inch, you think I'll end up in New York? I'll end up somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico. How did it happen? I didn't monitor my inches. They didn't matter. What God said didn't matter enough for me to care about putting it into my life. And somehow I got off over here. Anybody? I've been there. Right? A little inch. Just picture that. It can happen to everybody. It says all fall short. All falls. All of us can make that, right? But all of us then, if that's true, if we all fall short, then we all can make an adjustment. We go, okay, Lord, where do I need an adjustment? Trust me, good dads will tell you. They'll tell you where you need an adjustment. All of us, the church, have been given new life. If you call yourself the church, if you are a follower or disciple of Jesus Christ, if that is you, if you're the church, we've been given new life. Isn't it time we do something with it? I'm not saying what we used to do with it. I'm saying, isn't it time we do something with it now again? There's people that need Jesus still. And you are the church, the only church some of them are ever going to get. And if we don't care how pure our heart is, how pure our religion is, we don't care that. We're just going to give a more tarnished, blemished gospel. How are they going to know Jesus that way? You're never going to be perfect. But we got to start working towards more pure. All of us, we got things. All of us, we got things. No one needs to take shame and guilt on. All of us got things we can tighten up. Mine are going to start with my abs. I know. James 2:14. What is the benefit, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? Can that kind of faith save him? No. A mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If someone's faith is genuine, there should be fruit of that in their lives. People's lives are changing, becoming more like Jesus, and getting impact because of the fruit of someone else in their life. That should be following all of us, right? It should be. It was very disappointing. We're at Prescott the other day, went to lunch in an unnamed place because I don't want to give him a bad pub. But at one point in time, everything wasn't going well. You know, forgetting stuff, doing special stuff. Just taking it. You know, we're chilling. I wasn't at Safeway. I was out with my wife. I was doing good. I was fine, you know. But I looked over at one point in the meal. She's biting and chewing. And I'm biting and chewing. I let go. Hey, how's your food? She goes, it's sufficient. That's not a good rating. Sufficient's not, you know, like chicken nuggets are sufficient, you know. When you take your anniversary dinner, you want to go, wow, I bit in that steak and I thought I heard, you know, I thought I heard some sweet music, you know. It wasn't that. It was sufficient. Yeah. A mere claim of faith, that's not sufficient. That's not even sufficient. It's not even like, well, that's nutrients for them. No, that's not sufficient. Actually, earlier, remember he said it was worthless in our recap. Man, I don't want to be worthless. I want my life to count for something because I destroyed a lot of it. And I'm not perfect. And I got to get better. But I think that's a reflection of all of us, right? This is the season to get our hearts ready for a marathon. This is our season to get our emotional selves healthy and in order. And it's our time to get ourselves healthy, not other people healthy. It is our time to get healthy. For us, it's our season because our hearts are needed in the world. You've been born again for a purpose. That purpose is still out there waiting for you. Genuine faith produces work. So if we're Christians, there's some actions I want us to take because those decisions will change the world. You ready for some homework? Because I believe pure religion is what changes the world. God sends somebody who knows him, who says what they believe, and tries their best to act it out, and he sends those people to other people. So here's our homework. If you're so inclined, I'm not being bossy, I'm making a suggestion. Make a commitment to take a moment this week to ask God to check your alignment. Just you get alone and say, hey, how's my alignment? Where am I off a little? Like even a little. There's things I go, I know I'm off over here, and I want to work on it. And the Lord says, okay, yeah, but that's not what I want to talk to you about. I want you to talk to you about this. But I want to work on this. Why? Because buy the curls for the girl. He said, yeah, but do the abs for your dad. You know, get it done. Get those. I don't know. I couldn't rhyme it real quick. I'm not perfect. Working on it. Make a commitment to take a moment to ask God, where am I out of alignment, Father? I don't know if you've even accepted Jesus, but take a moment and go, have I even exchanged all that nonsense that I used to be? Have I exchanged it because Jesus said I can exchange it for him? Have I given him all my stuff? Have I even asked him to forgive me, to cleanse me? Have I really done it? Because if you haven't, today's a great day. So homework is make a commitment and ask Jesus, maybe I haven't even downloaded to you. How about this? Maybe you're running the race kind of wellish, but now you're not. But no one knows it. I'll just look up because I'm not trying to convict anybody. Maybe you were running the race well, but now you're not. And you know it's time. Maybe you've fallen down and you're making some weak attempts to get up. You know, ever see a little kid bite it? And you know they're okay. You know, they're okay. They tripped over a dandelion into the water. So they're fine. But like, right? They're just losing their mind. And you know, man, you're not, can you get up? No, I think I broke my pelvis. Broke your pelvis? You landed in 3 foot of water over a dandelion. You don't even have a scratch. My pelvis is broken. Sometimes that's how we are. We make excuses. I can't. I'm too injured. I can't. Well, maybe it's a matter of life and death. Maybe it's time to get up and make big time attempts. This is the season to go. This is my all in big time attempt time. There's some things that actually need my big time attempt. You know, I'm not a perfect husband. I give myself a B+ most days. Sometimes I can dip below or above that. But I do know I have no excuse not to make sure that I got to shoot for an A. Why? Because he gave me her. It's my job. That should be with it for Jesus too, right? Shouldn't we love him like that? Yeah. So if you've fallen down, maybe it's time to get up. So pray about making a commitment to some spiritual, emotional, or physical change this year. Like, okay, I'm going to make some emotional, some spiritual, and some physical changes this year. Start today. Like, start today. That's your homework. Start today. And then there's one last thing I want you to pray about before I dismiss you in prayer, is pray about joining the 3 More Minutes for Miley program. There's a new program. It's hot in the earth right now. You can't get an app, but it's called 3 More Minutes for Miley. Have you heard of it? Oh, it's 3 More Minutes for Miley. So whatever you pray every day, I want you to add 3 More Minutes for Miley. So pray about making a commitment, 3 More Minutes. Not like, well, I pray for Miley every day. Good. Pray 3 More Minutes. Because you don't know what 3 minutes can mean if you're in the jungle and there's guys with machetes and guns and they're after some white girl. I'm not saying it's happening, but you know what I don't want? I don't want an extra 3 minutes out of you. If that were me, if I was out in the middle of the ocean in Samoa on a boat in trouble, I hope someone say 3 More Minutes. I want 3 More Minutes. So I want you to pray about the Miley program, 3 More Minutes for Miley. And if we add up all those minutes, she's going to be okay, right? So I want you to pray with me. I got a picture of her. Yeah, there she is. 3 4 minutes. Can't you just, want to pray for her when you see her. You go, oh, man, I just want to pray for her. Go ahead and stand. I think one of these days we're going to have a testimony Sunday. And that's old school Pentecostal, but I think it's good. Well, what that means is people in the congregation telling their God stories, what God's been doing in them. Because you need to hear some of the amazing stories. I look around and you might go, Pastor, you see me broken? I say, no, I see amazing stories. I've seen broken, but I've seen amazing stories. I've seen people come in and their lives were shattered and you put some God to it and some grit to it and you surrendered your life. And I only see amazing stories that should be told, not hidden. I see stories that actually, if you knew some of the people next to you, the things they've been through, what God did in life, through the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you only knew when they walked in, you go, I got to clap for them. Woo! That guy's great. Man, Jasmine, what? You mean Jasmine went through some stuff? No, she barely walks on the ground like Pastor Heidi. Nick and I have to deal with these angelic creatures. Take her out to lunch and let her tell you your story. And maybe you tell her your story. Maybe it's time the world needs to hear your story. Maybe this is the season he brought you under the earth and set your feet in a right place and got you to a place where you're ready to let people know what Jesus can do. You've been saved for a purpose, and it's to produce pure religion to make a change in the world. So, Father God, I pray you'd purify us up, not beat us up. Purify us up. Bring us to places where we can be such in unity, Lord. This has been one of the most amazing and difficult seasons. But the beautiful things that I see you doing, Lord God, I want to pray that you continue to do that this year in such amazing ways. That we, the church, we would shine a little pure, more religion this year. That it be shine right on you, not on us. We're doing such a great job. No, Lord, you're doing a great job. You get the glory in our pure religion this year, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.